From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Thank you for that song. Let's all stand open our Bibles tonight. Exodus chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 18. The Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai, and on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said to him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. I want to speak to the entire crowd tonight, but specifically to those of you in leadership on some level. You know, I think living in the United States of America, having so much at our fingertips, enjoying the blessings of God, there hasn't been a whole lot of reason to pray and to get close to God. Sometimes we just enjoy the blessings of living in this nation. Sometimes we just enjoy the blessings of being a member of this church. Sometimes we just enjoy the blessings we inherited from our parents. But really understanding the need for God in our lives, especially in leadership, because sooner or later, these things tend to come to the surface, and you may be successful on some level without a closeness to God, but that's going to be revealed through time in your marriage, and revealed through time in your children, and revealed through time in your ministry. Time can't hide that forever. And it's easy in this day and age to give an appearance, but inside, not have the walk that we should have. And first, I'd want to ask you, what really do you want to be close to? Who do you want to be close to? Who do you want to know? Because when we talk about knowing God, here's what we see in this relationship. God and Moses had one of the best relationships we see in the entire Bible, speaking face to face. And God did things for Moses and revealed himself to Moses in ways he didn't reveal himself to any other man on the planet. But there's obviously a desire in Moses' heart. But we know this, if we don't want, or there's no inner desire to get close to someone, closeness causes awkwardness. All of us have a personal space, and all of us have had someone in our lives that invaded that personal space. And it makes us very awkward. We don't mind talking to someone. We just want to make sure there's a little bit of distance there when we do. And there's only one or two people on this planet that you really want to get close to for an extended period of time. You don't mind bumping shoulders, rubbing shoulders, or being close to someone, maybe for 30 minutes or an hour. But every day, day after day, week after week, that's a totally different story. And that's what marriage is about. You saying, I'm picking one person on this planet that I want to spend a lot of time with, and then some after a year or two change their mind about their pick. Say, now that I've spent some time with you, you know, I realize I don't want to spend a whole lot more time with you. And then suddenly this man has a 60-hour work week, surprisingly. But in this relationship with God, God is desirous. This is why he put man on the planet, for a relationship, a personal relationship. But in leadership, this is so needed. And here's what God was telling Moses. Moses, you've got to lead 2 million people. And in order to be capable of doing this, we're going to have to spend a lot of time together. Now, this is an invitation from God. And I know on the surface we'd say, well, what a privilege, what an honor. I wish God would tell me. He has already told you that. This isn't the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. We have direct access to God. But God told Moses, come up. And then we look at this mountain. Now, it's debatable whether or not they've identified Mount Sinai. There are several different locations that people claim to be the Mount Sinai. And one of those mountains is burn at the top. And I don't know. I've never been over there. I haven't personally made my choice which of the two is the real mount. I don't think that really matters. I think what matters, if you can picture in your mind for a moment, according to this text, God sent down fire, and in the top of the mountain has been burned. There's smoke. He's thundering, and there's a voice coming like a trumpet that the Bible says is getting louder and louder. The earth is quaking, and the people are fearful. Now, let me ask, how many here want to go to the top of a mountain when it's covered in smoke, it's caught fire, a voice of a trumpet, and the whole place is shaking and quaking? What we have to understand in all of this, God is telling man several different things. He's speaking of his holiness. He's speaking of his presence. And he's reaffirming to Moses, listen, I don't want everyone coming up the mountain. Matter of fact, he set boundaries. And he said, right now, I want to make sure you're pretty cleaned up and the priests are sanctified. And if anybody even, he said, if they gaze through that boundary, they're going to die. Trying to understand the concept of a relationship with God, man in his own mind has tried to fabricate God in his own image and what he thinks of God and who God is. God is still holy. You know, nowadays people stand on a platform in a t-shirt and ripped jeans and talk about an awesome God. Maybe they ought to go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and get a biblical significance of the meaning and the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And when you get close enough to someone, you begin to understand who they are, and you listen to them talk, and you get to know them. And here's what God needed out of Moses. Moses, we've got to talk, and we see he goes up and down this mountain 8 different times, and twice with stone tablets, and God writes the 10 commandments, and he comes down in anger. We're going to see this next week, and breaks them because of Israel's condition, and God rewrites them so he can put them in the ark. But here's what I need you to understand tonight. God still wants that kind of close relationship. There are just very, very few people on the planet that want, desire a relationship at all. And specifically, something that close for the majority of people, too heavy of a price to be paid, too much effort, and really there's not a whole lot of desire. Right now, my life is going pretty smoothly, and I have things in order. I'm making enough money. I'm paying the bills. And basically, the way our relationship is right now, I'm hearing from you, I'm reading your book, and I speak to you occasionally, and things are pretty much sweet the way they are. Let's leave them that way. I'll spend a few minutes with you and then extended time at prayer meetings, but, you know, this is our communication the way it is. Let's just leave it like that. God is still saying, I would like for my leaders to come closer. Because even in Christianity, even the cream of the crop, even the leaders of the pack, even those that have been specifically called by God or chosen by men that are called by God will do, I'm talking about, work and sweat, and they'll take additional responsibilities added to the normal work week and added to their responsibilities as a father, a husband, or a leader. And they'll take on all those additional responsibilities, whether it's studying for a lesson or making a visit, remodeling a church, whatever's asked of them, they'll do it. But a personal walk with God, I mean, just getting close to God. I mean, close. Just getting close. It's difficult. And let me just start out by saying this to the average church member, because our preachers across this nation used to preach 40, 50 years ago, if you listen to them, about the unsaved membership. And back in the day, they used to throw out numbers like 40 and 50% of our congregations aren't even born again. I don't know what the percentages are. I would hope and like to think Capital City is much higher than that. But you might be shocked how many people sit in a Baptist church like this and have no personal relationship with God at all. None. Faithful, separated, honest, high character, no relationship with God at all. Communication doesn't happen. I mean, there are times of designated communication, but they speak with God about as much as they speak with their pastor. They see him at church. There's a holy salutation, and then it's another 3 days before there's any communication at all. I'm not even talking about a designated prayer list. I'm not talking about a designated prayer time. I'm talking about a close relationship. I've been places in public before where I stumbled across Andrew and Kira. If you think they sit close in church, have you ever stumbled across these two in public? I told them before, you're not allowed to share a seatbelt. That's illegal in the city of Austin. And now that they've been married for a while, that closeness has not, we haven't seen any division there, any separation there. But that same awkwardness that we bring into life's relationships, and because this world doesn't emphasize relationships, and especially if you're a man, there's no natural DNA that emphasizes relationships. It's a wife that by nature loves and nurtures. That's not in a man. But to do, to work, to sacrifice, to sweat, that's in a man's DNA. And God says that's needed in a church setting. But if you're going to lead a home, if you're going to lead a ministry, if you're going to lead in any facet or avenue of church, God says, you're going to need my wisdom, you're going to need my power, you're going to need my blessing in order to do that. I want you to have a closer relationship with me for an extended period of time. Now, here's what we know. He was up on this mountain. He was up and down, up and down. And then the second time when he's getting those tablets and the instructions on the building of the tabernacle, 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of God. But this lasted much longer than 40 days and 40 nights. This lasted, if you read the book of Numbers, you're going to see that just a regular relationship where he was talking to God like most Christians can't even understand. You see the conversation here where Moses is telling God, you know, these children of yours are really a headache to me. And then later on, God looks at Moses and said, these children of yours are a real headache to me. That's the banter between two close friends. That's what a husband and wife do. When the child gets an A in school, the mom says, my child is a genius. And when he gets demerits and comes home in trouble, your child is an idiot. Amazing how quickly that child changes from mine to yours. And that's what we see in this relationship, an exchange of children. But there is something very close here. And here's what God was telling Moses. I want you to come up. And if there's no relationship at all, no desire for relationship at all, the first thing you want to do is just go ahead and check your salvation. Right off the bat, just check your salvation. You just want to say, it's natural if Jesus Christ, my Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells me and heaven's my home. It would be natural for me to want to have some kind of relationship with him. I'm not talking about it that it's easy. I'm not talking about that it's
it's consistent. I'm not talking about it's where it should be at this point in your Christian life. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, is there a desire? If there's no desire, if there's never been any two-way communication, first thing you need to check is your salvation. Young people, here's what scares me. You've been reared in an environment where you've been taught from childhood how to perform. Christianity is not a performance. Performance creates apostates. Because if you're a performer, that means there's nothing inside, and sooner or later, living the Christian life is going to be an aggravation, irritation, and you're going to rebel against Christianity if there's not something real inside of you. But if you have young people, if you have no relationship with God, the first thing you need to do is just do a quick self-examination, 1 Corinthians 13. Examine yourself, see whether you be of the faith, and say, am I a born-again child of God? You know why? I'm not real close to the woman sitting next to you, because she is not my wife. You, at some point, chose that person, stood on a platform, said your vows, and then began to spend a lot of time together. You can go back to a day when your life changed because you were introduced to this person and you made a commitment to them for life. And in the case of a relationship with God, that salvation was a commitment to God for life, a commitment to communicate. And here's what I don't think we understand, that really the basis of all of this relationship, the basis, the foundation of it, is holiness. Because you cannot have a relationship with God absent of holiness, because God is holy. This week, I had several appointments at a Starbucks, and I was running the appointments back to back. And while I was sitting there, I was watching the crowd of Capital City come and go. But one group of ladies came, but they did not go. When I was getting ready to leave, I noticed one of them had a wagon with belongings beside them. And I walked over to just politely say goodbye. And within about 8 or 10 feet, the stench of that wagon and those belongings hit me square in the lungs. Pungent. My sister-in-law said that you didn't stay long. The smell was too strong. She told me that someone that had been living on the streets needed to leave their care package under her watchful eye. So Marissa, the wonderful lady that she is, was just watching this care package of belongings. Smelled good, didn't it, Marissa? Now, I couldn't have taken on that obligation because the stench was too strong. Isn't it strange that we think that a holy and righteous God ought to be okay with the stench of sin, no matter what it is? And here's what he did. Look, from the very beginning, he tells Moses, you better know in my presence, you're going to have to sanctify yourself. Look what it says in verse 20. The Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai and called Moses up to the top. Verse 21, go down and charge the people lest they break through and gaze. Just gazing, many of them will perish. He said, what do I want you to do? Verse 22, let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves. Verse 23, Moses said, Lord, the people cannot come to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Here's what we don't like to admit. Separation is sanctification. And we have a Christianity in this day and age that wants to act like a hobo, Talk about how close they are to God. God is holy. And God has not changed. And he said, before anybody comes near to me, look what he said in verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Now, he didn't just say physically, spiritually. He said physically as well. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Then he said, I want you to set those boundaries. Isn't it strange that he said, first you sanctify yourself, and then you set up those boundaries. And he said, if someone crosses those boundaries, then you're responsible to take care of that person and punish that person. Isn't it strange you would think that the holiness of God? He said, if they gaze through, they'll perish, but he wasn't going to kill them. He told the people, you're the ones in charge of those boundaries. Because I want you to understand, anybody that crosses that boundary is entering into my presence, and I'm a holy God. And we're talking about days of sanctification. Christians, if I get you to understand this tonight, I'm not trying to terrify anyone. I'm trying to challenge you and get you to understand there are just so few that truly want a close relationship with God. There are few people that God can actually use because there are few that are willing to pay the price in their home, in their ministry, whatever responsibility that God has given them. Aren't we amazed and astounded by our own feats and abilities and character so that we can prepare and we can work and in our own strength we can accomplish? And occasionally when we find ourselves in dire straits, God, if you could help me out here for a few minutes. God said, Moses, no, you're in a job that our relationship cannot be casual. It can't be 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. This has got to be a close relationship. Every day, quality time, casual conversation, not so casual. I need to be able to speak to you. I need you to be able to speak to me, or you're not going to get through what you're going through on this level. Now, here's what you can do. You can get through a lot of things alone and on your own. On a level down here, greater influence, greater power, greater blessings, greater responsibility demands a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I've seen pastoring. Not very many really want a close relationship with God. You know, when you're that close, you can smell a person's cologne and even their breath. We don't want to be that close. And God says, I want to be that close. I want to know that you are sanctified, cleansed. Because when you get this close, I see you as you are. I need you clean. Let's be honest, tonight, you know why we don't have the relationship with God that we should have is because we've allowed things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and we know. How can I talk to him about this if I have this in my life? How can I do this if I have this in my life? How can I do this with this attitude, with the way I've been talking, these thoughts and this anger and the frustration that I'm dealing with right now, and the bitterness that I've held in my heart? And because we have that kind of relationship, we know we got to stay cleaned up 24/7. But here's the real problem with this. Here's what you're going to see. How many of you have ever read Exodus 19 through Exodus 34, and you kind of got confused about where Moses was at on the mountain? How many times he went up? Who God was talking to? Anybody ever been there in Exodus? You're confused about the chronological order? Now, it doesn't matter which mound it is or if they found the right mountain. Both of those mountains that they've identified are over 7,500 feet. You're talking about 4,000, 5,000 steps up, large steps up the mountain. You can take tours up them, take 3 or 4 hours to get to the top if you're in shape. You need some oxygen, several moments to rest. You know why most Christians don't have that kind of relationship with God? Because it's a long trek up the mountain. Because you got to break free from everyone else. You got to break free from your other responsibilities. Here's what this generation of leaders have done. Instead of allowing their relationship with God to interfere with every other duty, they've allowed every other duty to interfere with their relationship with God. Say, I'm going up the mountain today, again. Break free from everything else. This is God and I time. I need some personal time. If I'm going to be the father I'm supposed to be, the preacher that I'm supposed to be, the husband that I'm supposed to be, the leader that I'm supposed to be, I need personal time with God. Extended time with God. This is the part of Christianity that's non-existent. Our prayer meetings in this day and age last about 15 minutes. Moses, on one of those 8 trips, spent 40 days, no food, him and God. So here's really the only question, the only challenge of tonight. Are you really in a spot in your life where you don't, doesn't really require you to be close to God? I pretty much got things under control. I'm not sensing that with my children I need God's blessing. And you know where you're going to see it when they're 20 and 25 and 30. You're going to say, you know what? I blew it when they were young because I thought I was doing okay without God's presence. Church, youth pastor, everything that was going on, I was doing all the right things as far as activities were concerned. While never really establishing a relationship with Him. And while he was saying, can you come closer? I would say, you know what? If you talk to me about that, hold that thought till next week, I'll kind of get your word back. So who is that person in life that you are saying, boy, I'd like to spend more time with them. I'd like to come closer. I'd like to have an extended conversation. I'd like to get some advice. The God of all knowledge says, you got 30 minutes? And man says, nope. The God of all power says, do you got a little time out in your day? And we say, I really don't. The creator of the universe says, if you could block out 20 minutes for me, I think we'd really have some special time together. And man says, not today, no chance. I am really, really busy. Moses, with all the responsibility that he has, we just read about him standing in line with thousands of people in line. And God says, I need a block of your time. How much? 40 days. And Moses said, I got 3 million people to take care of. Nobody gets 40 minutes, let alone 40 days. I don't know if anyone here could say that they're carrying a load like Moses was carrying. And in one of these trips, he blocked out 40 days, God and I time. And here's what Christianity has done. Work, family, priorities. God has a block Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe Saturday morning. God's got a block possibly on the way to work, way home from work. Got a block 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock noon. God's got a block called my break time. God's got a little block. Can you imagine if we treated our mate or our friend like that? You've got 4 designated times in my week when really we can have a conversation. And here's what God has been saying for thousands of years. I need a few leaders that listen to me when I say, can you come closer for a minute? Because God, I know we see in the Bible that he's thundering his voice, but you know the way God usually speaks, the Holy Spirit, in a tone so soft that if you're not this close, you'll never hear it anyways. with all the other exterior noise going on, and all the other things in life battling for our attention, God says, I'm just going to talk like this, and if you can't get close enough to hear me, you're going to miss it anyways. And there goes Moses up the mountain again. And God said, everyone else, you say, how do you know that they weren't holy enough? We'll see that in chapter 32. Because all it took was a little extended time up on the mountain. The next thing you know, they're making a calf, stripping naked, and having a dance party. God's people. You know why? There weren't any other leaders, including Aaron. And when you do not have that relationship, let me tell you the result. What we see in Christianity. You are nothing more than a chameleon. A Christian without a relationship is simply a chameleon. And while in the church, he'll look like the church. And while in the world, he'll conform to meet the look, the standards, and the requirement of the world. And Aaron, who was already chosen to be the high priest, had the chance. He said, bring me your gold. Let's see how my artistic talents go. Put together a little band, a little music. Can you imagine God's man taking off his robe? How crazy does that seem? But you know what? When we don't have the relationship with God that we're supposed to have, there's no kind of behavior that's beyond what we're capable of doing. And until you get close to God, you see who He is, you understand His nature and His character, guess what? At that point, you don't need a Sunday sermon. You don't need someone preaching it hot. You don't need someone pointing a finger. You don't need someone rebuking you. You've got a God that you're close enough to that you understand that's not really acceptable. And you know why? There are things that I don't know about you, and I don't know your personal taste, and I don't know what is unacceptable to you and what is acceptable, because we're not that close. I mean, to tell you, I'm closer to him than I'm closer to most of you, but there are many things I don't know and won't know, because 15 or 20 minutes a day until that person moves in, and you see him in the morning, you see him at night, you see him bad times and the good times. God says, if you're really going to succeed on this level as a leader, do yourself a favor. Come closer. Stay close. That's what is not taking place in Christianity. Folks, I don't mean small percentages. I mean it is almost unheard of. And we wonder why. Down the road, the consequence we never expected, because the job we thought we were doing so well was not really so well done. Because God says the only way for that to succeed is for me to be involved daily in the process. Two-way communication. You talking to me about it, me talking to you about it. Otherwise, you're not going to have the wisdom or the power or the blessing you need to make that succeed.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.